This is Divergent.
Derivative.
I tend to say the same thing.
It's Derivative.
These maniacal fans, and they write jingles.
Awesome.
I don't see the point in writing your own jingle when you can cut somebody else's.
It's more like Weird Al, but it's sort of better.
This is extremely derivative.
It is bad, and it is done with total confidence.
Original, uninspired.
I'm derivative as hell.
Hey everybody, it's Jerry. This is Derivative, and I can assure you that these songs you hear today are definitely, assuredly, much, much worse than Weird Al. First thing I want to talk about is shirts. I just completed the Kickstarter mass mailing, so if you supported me on the Kickstarter for the Jingle Fest, all of that stuff should have arrived by now. If it has not, please send me a note, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. Let me know that you don't have it, because you should. Unless you live near me, like you're Steve Lipton or Patrick Smith, you'll get that hand-delivered at some point. But otherwise, it's in the mail, and it should already be there. So I bring up shirts because not only did I complete my mass mailing, but my stamps.com account has like 3 days left. So if you want anything, please go to littlesongs.net/store, pick something out, use the promo code STAMPS. Do this today. Like, stop listening right now and go do this. If you're interested in anything between now and next June, this is the time to do it because that stamps thing makes it so easy to ship. I used to do all this stuff manually. I'd go to the post office, and we're going to talk about that right now, Michael and Tony and their whole nonsense. But stamps.com has made it so easy for me. I wish they were a sponsor of the show because I absolutely love the service. It's great. But I don't really have an e-store. I mean, there's a thing there where you can buy stuff, but I don't have volume or anything. So it doesn't make sense for me to pay $15 a month or $30 a month, whatever it is, to keep that active. So I'm going to deactivate that in a couple of days. If you want free shipping, promo code stamps, I can use that service. I'd love to take advantage of that now. Now on the topic of stamps.com and simplified shipping, I am, I guess not surprised, but disappointed and frustrated by the situation that Michael finds himself in with all the Chatter t-shirts. So when Chatter closed back in June, there were boxes and boxes of shirts there. Unfortunately, there were a lot of small shirts, but there were a lot of shirts. And I offered several times to help them get rid of them because I've been doing this for 6 years or whatever and have now come up with a system that what used to take me 3 days, I can now do in 3 hours. Packing and shipping and all that. It's not quite as laborious as it once was. And I know that, you know, even if it's just me mentoring for a few hours, I could probably help these guys get things started because Rob has his professional operation, but the shirts are not there. They're here in DC. And so they need some help. So anyway, that offer has not been accepted. So whatever, they're trying to go it alone and figure it out. And it sounds like just such a total cluster. And I sympathize because it's a pain in the neck. If you don't know what you're doing, if you haven't done it before, just the process of printing the postage and weighing everything and labeling and stuffing, and it just sucks. So anyway, that is nonetheless the job of the show, I would think. And so it seems like it shouldn't be that big of an issue that we're still here in November and they haven't done it. But it sounds like they're making progress. And hopefully it comes out in the next couple of days and we get those shirts out there. I, in honor of that, recorded a few songs tonight to share with you about this topic. So the first one is The Ballad of Michael and Rob. This is a Beatles song I've wanted to parody forever. I thought this finally was a good story that would be well suited to this tune. And then the next one's just kind of silly, just about the situation of Tony in the hallway and confronting Michael about the shirt. So here's a couple of songs in honor of the great shirt struggle of 2019.
Staring at the boxes of t-shirts like you've been doing for the past several months. The man on the phone said he would give you a code and in a couple hours you would be done. Michael, this should be easy. How hard could it be? The way things are going, these shirts ain't leaving D.C. Print out the labels for the envelopes and stuffing lots of shirts in them. All this talk of merchandising is just free advertising, and now you've made another dozen sales.
Shit!
Now you gotta print some more labels. Better get right back on the phone. Now your dad's at the door, you can't take it no more. Why won't everybody leave you alone? Michael, this should be easy. How hard could it be? The way things are going, these shirts ain't leaving D.C.
That is one of the stupidest jingles I think I've ever recorded, but I had so much fun doing that. It reminds me of that Uber driver Dio jingle from a couple of weeks ago, the unreleased and equally stupid yelling rock song. So if you would like a shirt from me, if you'd like to support this podcast, I again remind you, promo code STAMPS, littlesongs.net/store. I would appreciate it. And then in homage to that, here is a throwback to a song I did maybe a month or two ago when this topic came up, along with a very timely clip from Miss Tori Clark about what they actually should do with these shirts instead of mailing them out to all of you.
I've suggested a small fire is a good answer to this
well,
problem.
The Chatter t-shirts have been canceled.
You got some shirts stacked in boxes on the floor. Where have I heard this before? And you want to sell them all. But that takes work. Seems like a real pain in the ass. And though most shirts would sell real fast, you'll be stuck with those size smalls. So just do what I did when I was required. Get gas and ignite it and throw them into the fire. Throw them into the fire. Throw them into the fire. It's too much to handle and not worth the hassle, so throw them into the fire.
All right, that's enough talk about t-shirts. There's some great new material on the website right now that I wanted to share with you. We have a return from a few familiar voices. The first song, which is brilliant, and is a song that I did maybe a year or so ago, but I think that this is a really cool take about Wilbon and takes it in a totally different place, and I think this is equally great or better than whatever I've done by John Fitzpatrick. And then a parody to... an homage to Cindy Boren, Everyone Knows It's Cindy, by Elliot Olshansky and Joe Arrow. So enjoy these two new tunes.
Might be Chicago roots, but his sharp words he mutes when a really hot take would be fair. If it's some guy he knows, it's kid gloves on all shows, he'll be the last one to blast one on air. And there's little surprise when it's one of his guys earning universal disdain. Cause Mike will be true, harsh words he'll issue. Yep, you'll never hear Wilbon complain. Cause Mike's got friends in high places, so the Spurs GM stays in good graces while he tweets away. China crushes the NBA. Yeah, the Broncos stink. Elway comes up aces, losing Hornets owner. Mike embraces, oh, he's got friends in high places.
minute, Tony's age in the paper. Porn has a comma 71. Who's Dr. Hofflauf's new favorite target? Everyone knows it's Cindy. Who went to school in Southeast Missouri? Who had a blog called The Early Lead? Who teaches as an adjunct at Georgetown? Everyone knows it's Cindy. And Cindy works with Cheese Boy. They're both in the Post employ. And now that Tony's annoyed, he won't let it go.
All right, that was Joe working with some lyrics from Elliot Olshansky. Wanted to give you an update on the Jingle Fest. So we have booked a venue in Nashville, June 27, 2020. The Doghouse Saloon. It's near the Vanderbilt campus. It looks like it's sort of on the western side of downtown. And Gary Braun went and scouted it out for us. Looks great. Have talked to the folks there. We're going to have some DJ working it for us and setting up a stage. It'll be a little bit different than Jamma Java, but they're excited to have us. If you buy a ticket, you will get free food. We're going to have a buffet. Well, I guess it's not free because you're buying a ticket, but in exchange for your ticket, you'll get 3 or 4 hours of sports karaoke and access to a buffet. And if that buffet runs out, you can order food a la carte. All drinks and everything will be a la carte as well. No tickets or any nonsense like that. But there should be a good spread, and they have a decent menu of, you know, various bar foods in case you want to add something to that. As for the hotel block, that is still coming along. I'm waiting on some quotes back from a few different properties. The prices seem to be about twice what they were in Vienna and the D.C. area. So if I don't get a reasonable rate, we may just go it alone. Or if anybody out there is in the Nashville area or has any other hotel connections, please hit me up, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. Let me know your thoughts on other places we might be able to stay, and I'll consider all options. One thing that I was excited about, so I understand that not everyone can go to Nashville. It's going to be hard to get out there if you're in the D.C. area. Maybe too long of a trip. I think it's like a 10-hour drive or too expensive. People all have, you know, other vacations they might rather take than a Jingle Fest vacation. But I do hope you consider going. I know, like, I saw Brian from Oak Hill at Kilroy's the other day, and he mentioned, hey, I'm not going to be able to make that trip, and that stinks. But again, I totally get it. While I also received email from several folks that got their T-shirts in the mail, and I included some information about the event that said, you know what, now that I kind of see this stuff and I see what's coming together, knowing that Chatter on Books is doing a podcast there that weekend, you know, maybe I'm going to actually make that trip. This sounds like fun. And if you've never been, I guarantee you it's going to be a great time. There are a lot of folks came last year for the very first time, had a blast. Several folks have come there for 5 times and had a great time. And so I hope that moving to a new locale, if you're coming from a remote area, it really makes no difference whether you're going to Nashville or DC, honestly, because there's not Chatter anymore. There's no podcast taping to attend other than Tori and David and Gene and their thing that they're going to be doing in Nashville with us. I would be stunned if Tony traveled. He's not coming, but maybe Michael will be there. Maybe, you know, Gary's supposed to be there. We'll see. We should have a good turnout from folks. And again, there's no guarantees. It could just be me. But as long as I'm healthy and everything's going well in my life, I will be there and I'll be taking care of all this stuff. And then whoever else comes, that's what this is all about. Jingle Fest back in 2015, I think was the first one, was really just meant to be a celebration of these songs, this community, our common love for this show, our common interests, and just give a place to really do a send-off for the Tony Kornheiser show as it wrapped up for its summer months. That's why it's that weekend. It was always meant to coincide with the end of the season, and now that they're going to their podcast and doing stuff periodically with pop-ups, maybe that's not as relevant a date anymore. But that date has stuck for now, and I think we'll do that again. Sadly, I am so into this nonsense that I already have a logo and a name and a plan for Jingle Fest 7. Like, I'm getting way too far ahead of myself. They're probably, you know, by that time, who knows what's going to be going on in everybody's life. But whatever that date is, June 26th or 28th, 2021, I've already got it figured out. So stay tuned. I'll probably announce that at Jingle Fest 6, assuming everything is going well at that point. But that's going to be pretty exciting to do that and reveal that to you. I really have a hard time holding on to stuff. Like a lot of these designs take months to iterate through. So I usually post updates on the Facebook page or the Patreon page or somewhere like, hey, here's a preview, here's a draft, here's what I'm doing. I don't really have the patience to do long, drawn-out rollouts of content. But this podcast, I really enjoy. It gives me a chance to share some of this stuff with you as it's in progress, as I'm working it, as I'm workshopping it, and get your feedback in real time. Speaking of feedback, got some new iTunes reviews I wanted to share with you. So if you leave a review on iTunes or some other podcast platform, I will send you a sticker pack. You have to email me, ChineseFood@TKJingles.com, to claim it. But I will send you a sticker of Derivative, of The Grelly, of Little Songs, and I've got a ton of This Show Stinks stickers from previous Jingle Fests. So I'll send that all to you for free if you leave me a review on one of these platforms. Two most recent reviews, one from Awesome AVI or Awesome Avi, says, love it, keep singing, chatting, and Twittering. I will do all of those things. I feel like Twitter, because of their new show best tweets or whatever it's called, a lot of my stuff I feel like doesn't get through. It's like muted or something. I'm not getting nearly as much interaction as I did at one point. But when there is interaction, it seems like normal. Just for whatever reason, the algorithm doesn't prioritize some of this stuff. I guess, you know, tweeting five times a day, please buy a Derivative t-shirt, maybe de-emphasizes my tweets. And then R. Fenn says, great tunes, funny, one of the best aspects of the show. Thanks for the laughs, Jerry. So I really appreciate those reviews. All feedback I get, whether it's about this podcast, whether it's about the website or about a particular song, it all means a lot to me. I know that all the other jinglers feel the same way. If you leave a comment about one of their things, it really makes your day to hear that, hey, somebody out there likes this and hears it, because a lot of these things don't make Tony's show. And that's really the main forum for folks being able to experience these things. Like that sciatica jingle, you know, sat there for 4 weeks, 6 weeks or whatever out in the abyss in this podcast. But with our limited draw, you know, a few of you are aware of it. But once it hit out there, I got a ton of content and or contact rather from Littles saying, oh, I love that song. It's a great song. But hey, it had been out there for 6 weeks. What were you guys doing? Anyway, I love that feedback. I got some good feedback on that Shadow episode. If you liked that, if you want to hear more of that, if you want to hear more talking, less talking, more songs, whatever, send me that feedback as well. I will take it under advisement. I may not listen to you, but I will at least accept the feedback.
This is Derivative.
Tony has spent a lot of time recently complaining about the breakfast spread and the new studio. So I wanted to pay homage to those daily rants with an old song and with a new song. So the old one here is called Bagels, and it was about this ridiculous idea that when Tony decided to leave the radio, that Nigel had a very difficult choice. Did he want that awesome breakfast spread from Bagel City, or did he want to follow Tony into the great unknown and wherever they might end up without their free breakfast? And then the second song, this is about the studio conditions. This is almost as ridiculous as that knocking on heaven's door jingle, but hopefully you enjoy this. This is kind of a work in progress. Maybe it's done, I don't know. Send me your feedback. But here we have Bagels and Stu Studio.
Nigel lays awake, 'cause he has a really tough choice to make. Mr. Tony Show is leaving radio, but will Nigel go? 'Cause Nigel knows that the gravy train derails at the rolls, and the main reason Nigel's here is for all that veggie schmear, the mounds of lox and bread. He wants free bagels instead, 'cause through it all, the only compensation Nigel ever got from the station was a tray of breakfast food. And come this far, Mr. Tony wants to take him, but does he have the spread to make him? when the chips are down. Nigel will forsake him. He's noshing bagels instead.
Studio. All right. So I rarely go to the movies. It's really expensive, and I've got two small kids that would not be interested in anything that I'm seeing. Wouldn't be appropriate to take them to it either. But this past weekend, I had some time, and I went and saw two movies back to back. I saw the Terminator Dark Fate and Joker. And I've been meaning to see one for a long time. The other one was kind of a spur of the moment thing based on some online reviews. I saw that Joe Hill, Rob Liefeld, two very derivative artists, had said that Terminator was great and a worthy successor to T2. So I thought, oh, what the hell? I'm going to see Joker anyway. Maybe I can squeeze that in. And I have to say, if you like Terminator 2, I think you'll love this movie. It's not nearly as deep or complex, perhaps, as the other ones. I'm not going to say it's great, but it's the best one of those movies since that second movie. Just the originality, the way it kind of changes the narrative and twists it. There's going to be some spoilers here. But the bold choices that they made right up front in how they dealt with the whole premise of coming back to kill John Connor and what that might mean and what the impact might be if it ever succeeded. I just thought it was great. And then the way that they played on some of the humanity that Arnold's Terminator showed in T2, sort of in that same vein with this movie where he's still not obviously human, but is adaptive. And I thought that was really clever. There was some heavy-handed, it's not your son, it's you nonsense, in there that you could kind of see coming a mile away with the main female lead who was not, going to be the savior's mom someday, but she was the savior. So that's great. I don't know why anybody would assume that she wasn't, because it seemed pretty clear early on that that's what they were going for. But anyway, if you like those movies, I really enjoyed it. The only downside, I felt like the main villain wasn't nearly as memorable as like Robert Patrick, it's his name, right? The guy in T2, the T-1000. The actor was fine. He had a good charisma, a few good lines, but nothing like before. So I thought that was kind of a wasted opportunity. But otherwise, Arnold was great. Linda Hamilton makes the movie. You realize immediately why, Terminator 2 was so good, in large part because of her performance. And this, there's no difference here. I mean, she's just awesome in this. And the movie's good, not great, but really good. And again, if you like the other movies, I recommend you see it. And then Joker, I was blown away. I really have not seen many of the DC movies. I understand this kind of stands outside of that canon, so it's different. It might make a sequel or something, but it's not sort of tied into the Zack Snyder stuff. But I loved it. It was basically an hour and a half or 2 hours of Joaquin Phoenix chewing the scenery. Just the what they were able to do with silence, with the building music, just the tension on screen that you saw on his face. What was that? The John Levitz thing, acting. It was just wonderful. I highly recommend that movie. I'm not going to give away anything about that movie whatsoever. I do hope they make a sequel to it. I don't know how it could live up to this. Whereas Terminator, I'm pretty sure they won't make a sequel because it's bombed at the box office, which is good because it has a great ending. It's a great fitting end to that whole saga. Hopefully they do something else with that now. If they use that property, that Terminator stuff, start over, do something entirely different. This storyline is dead, and it's good. It's good that way. Whereas Joker, hopefully there's other great things to come beyond that.
You're listening to Derivative.
So this has been a really fun episode to record. I sat down about 3 hours ago with no plan for any songs or anything to talk about, and this is what you got. So all the songs that you heard today that were new were written in the span of me trying to sit down here and record this. I wanted to do something about shirts. Wanted to do something about the Stu Studio. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Again, send me your feedback on an iTunes review or through email. The Chinese food email was not working for a short time. So if you sent me something the past few weeks, you might want to send it again. ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. And again, promo code STAMPS at the Little Song Store. If you want anything from there, please do it now. If you'd like to support this show, there's many ways to do that. I'm not going to reiterate that here for fear of losing those that do, as I said before. But I hope that you're enjoying Derivative. I love to do this. I love to write these songs and record these songs. And we'll keep this going. And I hope that you are at least considering joining me at Jingle Fest in 2020 in Nashville at the Doghouse Saloon, June 27th, 2020. I'll keep giving you updates here as that plan progresses about who's going to perform, how it's going to tie in, the overall schedule of events. We're talking about doing some live music on Friday. Hopefully that pans out. There definitely is going to be some kind of podcast-type situation on Saturday. Definitely the live jingle show at the Doghouse on Saturday night. And then, you know, maybe there'll be something going on Sunday. I know that Shad is also planning to schedule his annual jingle golf event. So that'll be happening sometime at a public course. It's like 3 or 4 miles away. It's really close to where we are. So the whole layout of the event's going to be great, assuming we can get a decent hotel. So again, thanks for listening, and I hope I see you.
Standing on the shoulders of giants leaves me cold. Leaves me cold.
That clip is from REM's King of Birds, and the chorus, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, is what this podcast is all about. That's why I play it all the time. It also has a tie-in to Oasis, who named their fourth album Standing on the Shoulder, singular, of giants. And when it was pointed out to them that was an incorrect use of the quote, it's actually Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. It's, I think, a Winston Churchill quote. They said, oh, well, I like it better this way. Mainly just because they were too lazy to change it. So that's also a little tribute to one of the great musical inspirations of mine that's led to a lot of bad jingles. So Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, building all these wonderful jingles on the hard work of some other much more talented songwriter.
Look there, my son, the gnats are down by 2. I brought a crust, there's not enough for you. Shirt. I need to get these boxes out of my house. If you already bought one, then buy one for your spouse. Cut off the sleeves with a pair of scissors. Good God, what a nice blouse. Please buy a shirt or a sticker that would look really great.